Good afternoon. I'm glad everyone was able to make it back and glad to see some visitors here. In life, when we are walking upon this earth, we see all kinds of things in the world around about us. We see other people, the way they act. We see Mother Nature, the way the flowers, the trees, all of this goes through cycles, serving a purpose. We see the animals that are walking upon this earth and or maybe flying upon this earth, and they're serving a purpose. God has created them for a reason. And the scriptures often point to nature for illustrations. And so my lesson this afternoon is going to be based upon some of those similarities, and we're going to look at some things in nature and relate them to some things that we should and how we should be able to pass on the word and do what we are put on this earth to do. Open your Bibles to Job there in chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Job gives some direction here to show that God has created all these things and they're all for good. Starting there from chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 says, "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" God created all of these things for a purpose. There's reasons for them upon this earth. Turn with me to Proverbs. And I'll have to apologize this morning. I don't know if you guys noticed I was a little bit slow finding the verses. I have glasses on the way. I'm just telling you. So, some of these are my eyes from the time I look up to the time I look down has to focus a little bit, and it takes me just a few minutes. So, okay, Proverbs chapter 6. There, starting in verse 6 through 11, we see Solomon here is comparing a sluggard to look at the ants. And this is to warn us to keep us from falling into this trap of laziness. So starting there, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." There we see a comparison to the ant, how they work diligently. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and there in verse 26 through 28, this reminds us that God provides for all of our needs, and he does it through an example of the birds and of the lilies and the flowers. So Matthew chapter 6, starting there in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say," I'm going to stop there. So there we see that God provides. We shouldn't worry about the things that we need, because God will give us the things we need. The things we're probably concerned about are probably the things that we want, not the things we need. So out of these lessons, we see Scripture has compared nature to some things we can learn from and to look upon. So going through, doing some research for this sermon, I came across an article, and some of you may have already seen it or heard it. It was written in 1972 by a school superintendent out in Baltimore, and it compared the actions and the livelihood of geese to us. So, and to mankind, and can be related to the church. So my title of my sermon is Honk, Lessons of Geese, Lessons from Geese. My children didn't want me to say that. They didn't like the word honk in the title. So I did that just to embarrass them. But the word honk is going to come up because that's how geese communicate also. So we're going to use that in the sermon this afternoon. So a couple of facts. We're going to compare some things. The facts about geese. The first one, as each goose flaps its wings, they create an uplift when they're in flight. This uplift allows the other geese behind them to experience less energy. And in turns, by the study that was found in this article, in turns it improves their flying ability, their distance, by 71%. This is huge. They can create longer range by working together and using this type of motion and being in line with each other to help uplift. This is similar to if you're a bicycle racer, you can watch these guys on racing, they'll get in behind each other, or a race car, they'll draft each other. They're working off of the other person in front of them's effort and energy. They're creating that pocket of air that they can get in and preserve, maybe fuel, things like that. They're working in synergy, as they call it. We should share that common direction as we should work together. As a sense of community, we can get together going quicker together, trying to achieve our goal. We are all traveling on the thrust of one another. This principle of synergy is two things working together to achieve a common goal, something that they couldn't achieve in and of themselves if they were separate. So when we think of making concrete, you have multiple ingredients that go together, but if all of you had was sand, it wouldn't get hard. If all of you had was a little bit of rock, it wouldn't get hard. Lime will get hard, but it won't get as hard as it needs to for concrete. But you mix all them together and add some water, and you have something else that working together is stronger. In medicine, there's lots of medicines that are combined. Nitrogen, glycerin, that's a big one. Those two products by themselves wouldn't achieve the same goal as what we not commonly call nitroglycerin pills that would help someone with a heart condition. You put the two together, and it's very successful. So in biblical terms, there's a practice of two by two that we see commonly put out in Scripture. If you'll turn with me to Mark, there in chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. Says, and he called the 12 by himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. The disciples were sent out in groups of two to work together, to put together this thought of synergy where two things coming together can achieve a goal quicker and better than someone by themselves. They can build on each other. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Also has the example of two by two. Luke 10 and verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So again, we see they're sending them out in groups, in pairs, to give warning, to preach the word, to send the message. Acts chapter 13 gives us another example. Acts chapter 13, there in verse 2, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They separated them. Barnabas and Saul would have been two. And my last one for this example is Ecclesiastes. If you'll turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Can't see some of my headers here. I'll get there. Here, we'll move on. I don't want to waste too much time here. Anyway, we see that the Bible gives us two-by-two examples throughout several scripture where we can work in teams and achieve the same goal. So do we really appreciate the concept of flocking together, which is closely related to my next point, which geese benefit from mutual edification. So when one goose falls out of their formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance from not being in line with anyone else. They are flying alone. They feel the wind. They feel the extra energy that they have to exert. And they now will quickly try to get back into formation. They'll try to get back into enjoy that working as a team and get that uplifting power from the birds immediately in front of them. They are working on a work smarter, not harder concept, which we all tend to fall into sometimes if I work harder, not smarter. So what's a lesson we can get from getting back in line and applying these benefits of edification and working together? We should have the same idea of staying in formation. We are all headed in the same place, but what happens if we get out of line? Where do we end up? If we can't stay in formation, where are we going? Where do we want to go? We are willing to accept others' help when it comes down to it. If they get us back in line, we're willing to help, accept their help, and we're also willing to help others. So a strong Christian will appreciate the values of mutual edification. So in Hebrews chapter 3, in Hebrews chapter 3, there in verse 12, and I'll read through verse 14, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So we should enjoy this edification and building up of one another. This is mutual. We should appreciate the help. If you flip on over to Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Mutual edification occurs in the local congregation. Just as a group of geese, when they are in flight, they are called a skein. If they're on the ground, they're called a gaggle. And what's a group of Christians called? The church, right? We have a term for us. We're a group. We're the church, together. Individually, we're a Christian. Together, we're the church. So next, geese share the burden of their fellow geese. When the lead goose will tire, rotates out, and someone else, another one, will take the lead. They get right out of formation, they go right to the point, and don't hesitate. In Psalms, actually, I got ahead of myself. It pays to take turns. We have some hard tasks, and when it comes to continuing the work of the church, there are some things that there's some sharing of leadership that needs to take place. And we see that the lesson that we learned from the geese is that we can share this leadership role. And as for geese, people are independent on each other's skills, capabilities, and unique arrangements of gifts, talents, and resources. We can draw from everybody's individual gifts, talents, and resources. Not one person has to do it all. Not has to be able to do it all. But as for members of the body of Christ, we are to do our part. Ephesians chapter 4, and there in verse 16, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body has many parts and many members, and all of those working together to achieve a common goal. Who else shares this burden with us? Well, we see in Genesis, back in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18 there, we see that God created a helpmeet for man to share the burden, to give him someone to help. That was after creating all the animals and realizing that there wasn't anything suitable for man. Then he created woman to help share that burden. Now we turn to Psalms chapter 55, and we'll see who else is there to assist us when we are down. Psalms chapter 55, there verse 22, says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. We can place our burdens on the Lord. We can go to him in prayer, and he will help us. He will share those burdens. Geese also will encourage those who lead. The geese flying in this formation, they will honk, since the title of my verse or sermon is Honk, Lessons from Geese. The geese will honk at each other. This is a pep talk, cheering to keep up the pace. This is their way of keeping everybody involved, keep going. So they will, as they're flying in this formation, they will honk to encourage those up front, keep going. You can do this. It's very unlikely that they're honking because they're going the wrong way. They know where they're going. They have a purpose. They're here to do their job. And so that's probably not the case. Now, with that being said, I want to take that a little bit further. And if one of them should stray away, just as if we had had a brother stray away from the church, I would hope that we would honk to get them back in line, that we would reach out to them, let them know that they are going the wrong direction and they need to get back in formation. So what's the lesson we can learn from these geese and their honking to cheer the leader and to keep going and keep up the pace? We need to make sure that our honking is encouraging. That's what helps. We encourage each other. We encourage maybe someone who has lost to turn from any sins they may have committed. We encourage each other. In groups where the encouragement is there, there's higher productivity. Have you ever been in a group at a school or at work where you're trying to achieve a project or a common goal, and there's a lot of indecisiveness because someone wants to go one way and someone else wants to go another way? And then if someone doesn't get their way, there may be some negativity and lack of support and lack of help, to where once everybody is together on the same page and going the same direction, encouragement will drive you there faster and obtain that same common goal. You'll get the reward when it's all said and done. The power of encouragement. Standing by one's own heart and core values, which we get right out of this book. One's own heart and core values, and encourage the heart and core values of others. That's the type of honking that the church needs. That's the type of encouragement. Such should be the purpose for our words and our honking. It builds others up. If we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 29. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." No corrupt word. Good thoughts, good words, encouraging words. We can even say things to others that are ways to set them back in line with the path of the scriptures, and still say it in a way that is positive and encouraging without being rude and demeaning. It is to build others up. Colossians chapter 4 tells us to have good speech. Colossians chapter 4 and there in verse 6. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Let it be seasoned. Let it be good. Let it be for edification and uplifting. Have you seen the bumper stickers that says, "Honk if you love Jesus"? I've seen those before. Shouldn't it say, I think it should say, "Honk if you love Jesus and his brethren"? Because there's more to it. I mean, there's a lot. Jesus is our main goal, yes. But in the same instance, when you see that word "honk" on that bumper sticker, are you going to think of your horn on your car, or are you going to think of the honking of a goose? Good words out of your mouth about Jesus. Think of it that way. Honk if you love Jesus, but good words out of your mouth if you love Jesus. Geese care for one another. The fact about geese, when a goose gets sick, they get wounded or even get shot down out of the sky from a hunter. Two other geese will drop with it. They will go down with it to the ground. These two other geese will leave the formation. they will go with the wounded or the sick or whatever the case may be. They will stay with it until that goose either dies or recovers to the point that it can fly again. Very loyal. Once either the goose dies or is recovered, they will launch out again, either joining into another formation, or they will actually actively try to get back into their original formation. They will try to catch up with the group. But they won't leave them behind. They're going to go with them to tend to the sick. So what's the lesson we can learn from this? If we have as much sense as a goose or as geese, we will stand by each other in difficult times, as well as when we are strong. We'll be beside each other 100%. And we are. I don't want anybody to think that I'm up here preaching to any one person sitting in the congregation today. I feel this congregation as a collective group, we do a good job of sticking with people and with those who are sick and cards and encouragement. And I'm proud of that. I like that everyone pulls together in that sense. But that's the point here with these geese is they stand together. They will be with each other in difficult times and in good times. Another benefit in working together is the duty of spiritual brethren that we have is restoring those lost souls. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Excuse me. And there in verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So when we're there to help those who fall, we are there for one another. We're doing God's will to support one another. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Be there for one another. Bear one another's burdens. James chapter 5, along these same lines. James chapter 5, and there in verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. For us to be there when we stumble, when someone stumbles, be there when we're wounded, be there when we're sick, to have brethren there in these times is so important. And geese will do the same thing. They'll never leave their wounded family member by themselves. They'll go with them. The other thing I want to look at, comparison-wise with animals in general, is the purpose that they were put here. God had a reason for creating these creatures. Might be a big purpose, might be a small purpose, but God had a reason for them to be here upon this earth. And they do what they're supposed to do in and out each and every day to serve their purpose. Now let's compare that to mankind. What is our purpose upon this earth? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 is going to tell us it is to glorify God. First Corinthians chapter 10. And there in verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is to glorify God. So how often does mankind stray from this purpose? Daily, weekly, yearly, all the time? How often do we stray from this purpose? As a Christian, are we doing what we should do to glorify God each and every day? Isaiah chapter 43, and there in verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. We have been created for the glory of God. That's our purpose, which we should try to serve each and every day. There's all kinds of other animals out there we can take lessons from. You can think of a dog and the loyalty that dog has to his master to do everything that master wants day in, day out. No matter how hard they have to work, all they want to do is please their master. And we should want to please our master each and every day. God created mankind to be over all of these creatures. And I truly believe that. We are in charge of all of them. But I also think that we can also see God created these creatures and we can see and learn a little bit from them. We can learn, take a little bit from them that will make us better servants in the future than we have been in the past. Then I think that's a good thing. If I can take this sermon and make my honking more encouragement and less negativity, then I've learned something and I've gained from the creatures that God has created. By instinct, God gave geese the wisdom to succeed in their flight and their migration. It's in them. And by his word, we his creation. He gives us the wisdom to succeed in our spiritual journey. I thank you for your great attention. That is my lesson for this afternoon. I hope it was understood to the point and that I was trying to make. I thank you for your patience as I stumble through some of these, trying to find these pages. I found out that this light is too bright for me. It puts too much of a glare on there, and I can't read the words on them, so I had to turn it away just a little bit. If there's anyone here this afternoon who feels the need of obeying through primary obedience, if you feel the call of the gospel, the baptistry is ready. We're here ready to support you and assist you in that way. If you're here as a Christian and you've fallen away, if you've gotten out of your flying V formation and need to come back to it, we're here to accept you back. We stand ready to pray for you if that's what you need. If it's something you can take care of at your seat, we'd ask you to do so while together we stand and while we sing.